Well, talk of an official interest rate cut has been simmering for months now, but in the midst of this federal election campaign, extreme low inflation numbers have turbocharged those rate cut expectations. Official consumer price data out last week showed zero inflation in the first quarter and price increases of just 1.3% over the past year, below expectations. That sent the odds of a rate cut soaring, possibly as early as next month. And according to some analysts, the Reserve Bank's credibility will be undermined if the RBA doesn't cut rates now. Michael Yander is our regular Monday finance commentator. Hello, Michael.
Morning, Fran.
A lot of people will be just coming back from their Easter break wondering why there's suddenly talk of an interest rate cut next week. Michael?
Well, it all comes down to inflation, Fran. The Reserve Bank's tasked with keeping price rises in the economy between 2 to 3% per annum, and the latest inflation figures out last week show those annual price increases were just 1.3%, or 1.4% if you take the Reserve Bank's preferred measure that excludes the volatile price rises like fuel or vegetables and fruit, things that move up and down quite a lot. Inflation's now been below the bank's target for several years, and rather than moving up back towards the target, as it looked like it might be doing, you know, say a year or year and a half ago, it's now heading lower. So those inflation figures have prompted traders to bet the Reserve Bank will act and act soon. At one point, the futures market was suggesting a 60%+ chance of a rate cut at the Reserve Bank meeting next week, of course, during the middle of the election campaign. That's eased back now to a 40% chance of a rate cut in May, but a greater than 60% chance of a cut by June and near certainty of a rate cut by August, if not two.
If it's been below the target for several years, why, I mean, can the bank easily overlook this very low inflation figure? I think that's the point. It was well below expectations. And keep rates on hold for a few months longer then? What would be that would be no different, really.
Well, look, it might well overlook these low inflation figures in the short run. The bank has put forward a test for interest rate cuts. Basically that test is that it doesn't want unemployment to rise. If it sees unemployment in trend terms rising and inflation low, then it would potentially cut interest rates. So far, we've of course passed the first element of that test, which is that inflation is low and getting lower, but we haven't yet fulfilled the second part of that test, which is that trend unemployment is steady around 5%. But economics professor Richard Holden from UNSW's Business School says the Reserve Bank risks losing credibility if it doesn't cut interest rates now.
They have an inflation target. They try and keep inflation in a band between 2 and 3%. And it's basically not been inside that target band the entire time Philip Lowe's been governor. And they've basically said, look, we're hoping that unemployment around 5% is going to lead wages growth to tick up, and that'll lead to inflation inside their target. And it's just become increasingly clear that that's not happening and unlikely to happen. And so if they don't cut rates, then they're going to start losing credibility with the market.
Do you think a rate cut will actually be enough to lift economic growth, wages and inflation?
I think they'll need and will cut rates twice this calendar year, down to a record low of 1%. And I think that will stimulate activity. It'll probably help households out on the spending side. And household spending makes up about 60% of GDP, so welcome relief for households is likely to pump more money into the economy and help growth overall.
That's Professor Richard Holden from UNSW. Now, if we go back to that unemployment test, Fran, there were job ads figures out last week which showed the biggest monthly fall in job vacancies in 6 years. So the Reserve Bank might decide that that's a sign unemployment is about to go up and it might act early.
Is there anything to indicate to us that the Reserve Bank Board would be reluctant to cut during an election campaign because there will be a sort of a political response to it one way or the other?
The precedent was set in 2007, Fran, when the Reserve Bank raised interest rates during that election, of course, the Howard Rudd election. The Reserve Bank does what it feels is appropriate for the economy. I doubt they'll take the election into consideration.
Okay. The Reserve Bank can cut interest rates, but then it's up to the major banks to do it too, to pass it on. This week, the focus will temporarily shift from the RBA to two of the big four banks, which have profit results out.
Yeah, ANZ's the first in line on Wednesday. It's expected to report a $3.2 billion interim cash profit. That's the half-year profit. That's roughly flat, though, on the previous half. It's likely to be similar at NAB, with a $3 billion cash profit forecast also flat. And Westpac's out next week on Monday, and looking at a $3.4 billion half-year profit. The real focus will be on whether any of those banks have to cut their dividends. At the moment, NAB's paying out almost 100% of its profits in dividends, and that's pretty unsustainable for any company. The question is, will it cut the dividend now, or will it be cut down the track potentially? And if it is, that might really hit the share prices, because the main reason investors are piling into the banks is that very attractive dividend yield.
Michael, from banks to housing, we've spoken a lot about the East Coast house price downturn, but it's not feeding through to lower rents for Australia's poorest households, who are squeezed on rent.
Yeah, while the inflation figures out last week show rental growth across much of Australia is the lowest it's been in decades, rents are still very high for people on the lowest incomes, especially government benefits. Out of nearly 70,000 properties for rent around Australia, Anglicare found just hundreds are affordable for people on government benefits. Anglicare's chief executive Casey Chambers told me it's almost impossible for people on unemployment benefits to rent affordably in the private sector.
We surveyed 69,500 properties this year. For a single person on Newstart, two of those would have been affordable and appropriate, and they were in share houses. Those share houses were actually not in a capital city, obviously. One was in outback Western New South Wales and one was in the Riverina. For people on Newstart, the situation is just dire. If you're a young person on youth allowance, which is even lower again, there was one place out of 69,500 places that we looked at. So the situation is just appalling. It is impossible to find somewhere that is affordable for somebody on those government benefits in the private rental market.
What does that say about the level of government payments such as Newstart and Youth Allowance?
They haven't risen forever, and we know from our work with hundreds of thousands of Australians across the Anglicare network that people are struggling. We've got figures from the Department of Social Services which actually show us that 66,500 people on Newstart are spending more than 50% of their income on their rent. And of course what that means is that other things go, and we talk to people who don't have enough money for a hot meal every day, who don't fill prescriptions for medicine, who haven't insured their car and have let private transport go. And of course, affordable rentals are not close to public transport. So the decisions that people are making are very difficult decisions, and they highlight the fact that Newstart and Youth Allowance are way, way, way too low.
That's Anglicare's Casey Chamber. And as she told us last week here on Breakfast, Anglicare would like to see more investment in public and community housing. Michael, just finally, how are markets set to start the week?
US GDP figures were much better than expected, and the US markets hit another record high on Friday, but it doesn't look like it'll feed through here. The futures are pretty much dead flat, and the Australian dollar pretty similar at 70.4 US cents, Fran.
All right, Michael, thank you very much. Michael Yander, the ABC Senior Digital Business Reporter and our regular Monday finance correspondent.